So we had a city council meeting last night, and it was supposed to be a fairly uneventful meeting. So how did that go?
It was. The meeting went really well. One of the things that I liked most about it is that we gave out a lot of good information. You know, everybody had some questions, but the meeting just seemed to tick along the way it should, and we were out of there close by 7 o'clock. So that was great for everybody, I think.
Anytime you can get out of one of those things early is always
That's
always
right.
Good.
It was nice. But one thing that we did do last night was a six-month financial review. City Treasurer Kim Creech did that at the work session. And, you know, something that hasn't happened in a long time for the city council was getting that six-month review. So it was something that I had on my agenda and just really appreciate the time and effort that Kim put into it. But, you know, things, even with, you know, the hurricanes and pandemic and things that we've been going through here, you know, nationally and also locally, revenues look good and our financials look really good.
Okay. I understand Chief Hollingshead had some awards to hand out as well.
She did.
Okay.
She had two awards. She recognized Officer Clark and also Officer Rehorn for gave them commendations, so that was really nice of her. She's gotten to where, you know, at least once a quarter she does that, recognize some officers for things they have done to go above and beyond, and appreciate her doing that because, you know, it's not all the time the police officers get the recognition that they deserve. It's kind of like we were talking off the air, is that, you know, things just kind of seem to tick along and people forget that there are those people behind the scenes, the law enforcement, public works, those people who really are out there every day doing the, you know, the day-to-day that we have to do to keep our community safe.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of those behind the scene folks, I'm gonna jump tracks and you're gonna have to change
okay,
hats here.
That's
real
okay.
Quick, both as mayor and as the chair for the Fairhope Arts and Crafts Festival. The police, the city workers and such, you know, the festival was, it seemed to be a great success just from being there during the day, but folks forget that, you know, at 6 o'clock, everybody goes home and city workers are out cleaning up, they're picking up trash. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the police are out there making sure that nobody's messing with vendors and stuff, and those people don't get praised enough, I think, that have those unseen but very, very necessary jobs.
Absolutely, Mark. That's one thing yesterday I hated at the council meeting that I did not get to mention. You know, people always, you have public works, you have police, you have the events folks who are out during arts and crafts, but I mean, it really involves the whole city. You even have people like Eric Cortinez, who is the building official, who is out, you know, a week before the festival contacting contractors and saying, hey, you need to get your sidewalks cleaned up, we need to get those dumpsters moved. You know, all of our city employees really take a lot of pride in the event that we put on, and they want to make sure we're showcasing our downtown and showcasing Fairhope and for it to be the best that it can be. So anything from the flowers to making sure the streets are clean to making sure the safety of our community and the vendors, you know, are taken care of, it really takes you know, the whole city to make that event work.
Well, and just like after a Mardi Gras parade or something like that, you know, you have all these thousands and thousands of people in here, all the trash cans are full, etc., etc., and then the next day the barrier's gone, the vendors are gone. It's just like any other day in Fairhope.
That's,
I mean,
right.
They just do an amazing job of cleaning it up and getting us back to normal.
They do. By 7 o'clock on Sunday night, you could drive through town and not even know there was a festival there.
Yeah.
Because the tents are gone, the trash is gone, and that's really to the credit of our city employees.
So, okay. Something else that's pretty wonderful, and I want to get back with you about the festival. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the festival now.
You can do that.
Keep your festival hat on,
okay.
And your mayor hat on, I guess, doing both. What was that like?
It was hectic, but thankfully, there is such a great team there with Arts and Crafts that, you know, I told them I had agreed to be chair before I decided to run for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did decide to run for mayor, you know, I reached out to him and said, listen, if the possibility that I am elected, I'm, you know, I never would want to politicize the festival for one thing. So that was one
obviously
thing I was worried about. And the other part of it was just my time was going to be limited. I said, so I'm really going to have to rely on the folks who are used to doing this to help me. And they just stepped up and really took a lot of pressure off of me and just took care of things that I didn't have. So I didn't have to take care of things. But the festival was great. I mean, we were excited to be able to have the crowds that we had. We had, you know, a limited number of vendors this year, not knowing what the mandates would be because of COVID-19. And just it really, really went well.
Well, the vendors that I spoke with were very enthusiastic and very excited about, number one, about being able to be there. For some folks, it was their first time here.
Right.
And I spoke with one vendor. She had hoped to sell 30 to 40% of her merchandise over the weekend, and it was Saturday. right around noon, and she'd already sold 60% of her merchandise. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm worried because, you know, I've got a problem. I'm going to run out of merchandise. I'm like, well, that's not a problem.
It's not a problem. That's right. That's a good thing.
Back to the car. That's a problem. Right. But so the vendors were excited that sales were so up. And so as you know, it seemed like a success. Did you get any feedback from that?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, it's one of those things. So this year, of course, on the Arts and Crafts Festival Foundation side of the festival, because, you know, there's two festivals that go on, the Arts Center and then this one, you know, all of our vendors did really well. One thing, it's kind of that supply and demand. You know, we had a limited amount of vendors, and people were out ready to shop, so you didn't have as many vendors in town. So, you know, they were able to visit the vendors. The vendors did really well. The stores did really well. And, you know, it was just exciting to see people out shopping. And, again, we had quite a few vendors that almost sold out. I know one of our pottery award winners, she ended up, I think, leaving with two pieces, which was like a coffee cup and maybe a bowl or two cups.
Oh, gosh.
She sold, almost everything she had. And that was, you know, not, there was another artist, a painter in town, Laurel Browning, who was here from Birmingham. She's at the festival every year. I think she left with maybe six or seven pieces, mm-hmm. and she had brought, you know, 50 to 60 pieces. So, I mean, in large pieces of artwork. So I think the vendors were really happy, and most of the merchants that we talked to were really happy. It wasn't like a normal arts and crafts because it wasn't as many vendors and mm-hmm. not as many people, but, I mean, they were very pleased with the weekend.
Well, with the, often on a normal Arts and Crafts Festival, you have four vendors in a little
quad.
Set,
mm-hmm.
a little quad there, and
right.
so they have two walls, basically, to showcase their stuff.
Correct.
And this time, they had their normal two walls, plus they had three outside walls, so they were able to showcase more stuff, and I think that helped as well.
They were.
And they were excited about that.
And I, you know, from the spectator side, too, a lot of people said, I like the fact that I can walk down a street and I can see everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when we have a normal festival, you have to make sure you walk down both sides of the street to see everybody. And not that that's very difficult, obviously, we know mm-hmm. that, but they just like the open airiness of the festival. But, you know, hopefully next year we can go back to normal because, you know, one of the main things the Arts and Crafts Festival does is we're able to raise funds to give back to the community. You know, almost $50,000 every year we're able to give back, and this year we weren't able to do that because it was a smaller show and we were just hoping to break even.
Okay.
We wanted to do that for our community, but it's important to us that we're able to, you know, put some money back for the foundation, so in the event Fairhope ever builds a performing arts center, that we can contribute to that, but also to be able to give back to some of those art programs that we support throughout the year, like Eastern Shore Repertory Theater or the Exceptional Foundation. We've supported the Art Center, you know, Baldwin Pops, the Theater 98. So these are all the art programs here in Fairhope that we're able to give back to because of the festival.
Okay, wonderful. Next year, you're hoping to have more vendors. Mm-hmm. Is it likely that you'll open back up on Johnson Avenue and some of the go just a little wider on some of the streets as well?
We will. And this year, because of the different configuration, it gives us the opportunity to kind of think outside the box. You know, when you do something repetitively year after year, it's the way it is.
It's,
you know, it's normal too. That's
it.
Right.
It's
just
that's
the way we've always
done
it.
This year.
So this year, you know, because we had a different configuration, we were able to look at it and go, well, maybe we can change some things up and use the same footprint. So we you know, did some after action. We meet next week to kind of detail all that and look over the financials and everything. But yeah, we're looking at, you know, going ahead and expanding into the same footprint down Johnson, you know, maybe extending further, but also looking at some ways that we can make the flow of the festival a little bit better for the spectators and for the vendors, just because of what we did this year.
Okay.
So, and all the positive comments we received.
Okay. And the festival gets its the festival itself gets its funds from selling spaces, correct?
Correct. We said, yeah, that's where we get the majority of our money from, and that's, you charge a registration fee to the artist and you also sell their space to them for, I don't even know what the entry fee is, to be honest, but you do that, and then plus we have sponsors, you know, mm-hmm. we usually collect $30,000 to $40,000 in sponsorships, but you know, festivals like this are not cheap to put on. You
no.
have advertising, you have artist awards dinners. We give over $20,000 in prizes to the artists to make sure they come back every year, you know, mm-hmm. we want to be able to award them. So it's a you know, it's expensive to put on, but it's something that, you know, these volunteers that do the festival love, and our community loves it, and we're glad we're able to continue that tradition.
Okay. Well, again, it was wonderful.
Thank you.
Just absolutely wonderful. It was great to see people. That was the thing I heard most, I think. It's people. There's people here. There's people here.
It's just that normal. Normal
having been cloistered for a year, able to get out and see other people, that was just, it was really nice.
Well, last week, you know, was so busy. It started with arts and crafts, and then you had Girls Night Out, and then you had the prayer breakfast, and then you had, there was a prayer ceremony at noon. Then you had, over the weekend, you had Eastern Shore Repertory Theater, and you could just see the excitement last week. You know, people were so excited to be doing those normal traditional things that they've been doing with their family throughout the years, and it's just great to see. I mean, people are just happy to be out and be amongst friends and family.
Yeah, just you know, not be stuck in the home where everything. Now,
that's right.
Safety concerns, so many people have had vaccinations and stuff, so we all should be safer. This is outside stuff, so the transmission likelihood is lower, but are we monitoring COVID rates still to find out?
We are. We still continue to monitor that, and EMA has done a great job throughout this of making sure they keep us, you know, posted on what the hospitals are seeing and what kind of spikes we're seeing. Really, we're not seeing any spikes.
I mean,
we're not. We're staying very low in numbers, like maybe one in the hospital, you know, those kind of things. And those are people usually with underlying health conditions. You know, you're going to continue to see people with COVID. I mean, just because there are some people who are not getting vaccinated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really important that people get that vaccine if they feel comfortable with that. And again, we are just encouraging people to do what they feel comfortable with. I mean, we're continuing as a city to take the safety precautions of making sure we're sanitizing properly, if masks are available, you know, sanitizing stations, those kind of things. But, you know, if you're comfortable wearing a mask, then by all means, we ask that you wear a mask. But we're trying to follow the state mandates where those are only recommendations.
Okay.
But we are encouraging people to do, from employees to citizens to whoever, to do what you feel comfortable with.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Let's see. Other things. Back to being a mayor. The Fairhope Pier has lights now.
Yay!
Went out Saturday evening with a friend, and we went all the way out to the end of the pier, and there was lights.
There was lights. Yes, there are lights.
So good job.
Thank you. Thank you to the city employees who took that on. Saved the city, you know, over $200,000 and have those lights back. We expect to have the bathrooms back open hopefully by the weekend.
Okay.
The sewer line and water line is ran, so there is water, but because those bathrooms have been off for so long, we want to make sure all the lift station and the lines and the pumping and all that are correct before we just open everything back up.
Okay.
There is some secondary services to the marina from an electrical standpoint that's going to have to be addressed. But right now we are able to, you know, we have lights, and hopefully by the weekend we're going to have the plumbing taken care of.
Yeah, I did notice a generator being run in the harbor there.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And those lines were actually, I'm not sure, I got a report yesterday from electric. I mean, the electric boxes went underwater, so they're kind of skewed, and there's some lines that are actually cut. Not sure how all that happened,
okay.
But they're going to have to probably rebuild some of that services. We're hoping to get our electric inspector out there today to tell us what we need to do. Yesterday, with the rain, he wasn't able to, so
okay. Hopefully
today he can.
Okay. Yeah, electricity and rain are just
not the best combinations. Did not want to put him out there in the middle of that yesterday.
Yeah, I was a power lineman for years, and there's, you know, things you do and things you don't do.
That's exactly right.
Just bad ideas. Stay away from them.
That's right.
So, okay, so I covered the pier, covered the Arts and Crafts Festival, and last night's awards. So what else did you have that... you'd like to go over?
One thing that I want to let people know, this is something people have been asking a lot about, is the crosswalk that's in the center of town. Those two crosswalks there by City Hall.
Okay.
They have not been operational for some time now. They have been under warranty. There's a default in the lighting system, and from the manufacturing standpoint. So we do know after some research that those were under warranty. So we have been staying on our contractor to make sure we get those repaired. He has told us that work is going to start Monday. So
okay.
To repair that lighting system. So, you know, downtown's so crowded, and it's just, you know, pedestrian safety is something that I think we all worry about with the amount of traffic and people that we see in downtown, especially on those event nights like First Friday and those type things. So it's important for us to get that crosswalk back up and operational, so that work should start next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had conversations with folks about going across the street, and they insist on, you know, if I'm a pedestrian, I have the right of way when I go in the crosswalk, and that may be true. That may be the law. The law of the state of Alabama. However, the law of physics says if a vehicle is moving at 30 feet per second, It's going to travel about 75 feet before it stops. So, you know, you gotta keep both of those laws in mind before you step out into the street.
Right. It's going to be kind of hard to stop for those folks. So, yeah. Yes, that is something people should be conscious of. And again, every day, I know it's something I worry about. I know the police chief worries about it, just the pedestrian safety downtown, because you're right. People just take for granted that they can just walk in the middle, out, and you can't do that.
And there's always people that are at an intersection, and they wait for the light to turn green, and then they walk across the street. And I'm like, oh, God.
Just hesitate a minute. Hesitate a minute. Well, I've seen the other night, girls' night out, there was a lot of traffic downtown, and then you have these skateboarders that are riding down the street. Mm-hmm. And it makes me a nervous wreck. I'm that crazy woman that's screaming, get off your skateboard, you know, or slow down. And people are looking at me like I'm crazy, but it does. It makes me so nervous just to stand there and watch traffic and watch pedestrians in downtown.
Yeah, there's a place for everything, and yes. That's just not the place.
No, it's not. It's not. So it's something that we talk about often, and hopefully we'll you know, with the crosswalks and some pedestrian improvements, hopefully that will get better. Mm-hmm. But people need to slow down.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was Jesse Ventura, governor of Minnesota, that said, and I quote, "You can't legislate stupidity." So
no, you're exactly right.
There's
you're
only
exactly
so much
right.
you can do.
I am right.
So much you can do.
So one other project that people keep hearing about is the Arts Alleyway across the street, mm-hmm. the parking deck, and those improvements with the transit hub and with the restroom facility there. We have gotten approval from the state to go ahead and start bidding that project. So we are meeting actually with Single Tax this week. We're hoping they're going to help us with some of the arts components of that project.
Okay.
And we will start bidding that work at the end of the month. So we're meeting with stakeholders. That's the businesses that are adjacent to that alley, meeting with stakeholders this week and getting some input from them, and we'll start bidding that project. So just excited to see some of these larger projects actually start to move.
Okay.
So we're excited about that. The other thing I just want to mention is we are smoke testing in town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we have gotten a couple calls from people that are saying they're seeing smoke, you know, inside their house. That typically would mean there's maybe a plumbing issue inside your home.
Okay.
But that is all part of the Restore project that we're doing to upgrade our sewer lines to look for infiltrations. And that's what that smoke does, is look for those infiltrations. So
y'all are running the smoke through the sewer lines and such.
We
and
are.
If you've got smoke coming back in your house, that means you need to
contact
the city, or you can contact your
You
your
can
plumber.
Contact the city, but they're ultimately going to tell you to contact a plumber, because you've got a leak somewhere that you need to have addressed. What we're finding too is a lot of the catch basins or the sewer, mm-hmm. the sewer caps that are in your yard, some of those have been knocked off by a mower. So we're seeing smoke come up out of those. So we're notifying homeowners that they need to replace those, because, you know, we don't want all that water from your yard running in there and infiltrating our system.
Oh, of course. So, I wouldn't have even thought of that.
But it happens. It happens. So, you know, we'll notify the homeowners, ask them to repair that, and we'll follow up, make sure that it's taken care of. But these are the things that cause problems for our lift stations and for our treatment plant. You know, currently our treatment plant is only at 48% capacity. But when you have people who remove manhole covers so their street can drain, mm-hmm. that becomes a problem. If you have those caps from your sewer that are missing, that becomes a problem. You continue to infiltrate our system, and when we get these heavy rains, it can't handle it.
People are actually removing this.
They do.
Okay. Wow.
They do.
Those things are heavy. Those
they are heavy.
Are hard to move.
But they will use a crow.
We've
had them propped open with bricks. They'll get a crowbar, you know, push mm-hmm. them up. And we're looking at something where you have a locking system so they can't get them up. But right now you're able to remove them. So they'll just pop them with a crowbar or something and prop them up with a brick and let all the rainwater flow through them. And that is just something that you should not do.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I don't even know how to respond to that.
Well, neither do we, but it happens. But it happens.
Things that make you go, what?
Yeah, right. Who would have thought of that? Because I would not have. But
okay.
They do it. But anyway, we are smoke testing. So people, I know we've had some calls. We have put out some information on social media. They did do door hangers in the areas where they're smoke testing to let folks know. But we just want to remind people that we're doing that. It's all in an effort to, you know, repair our sewer lines. So it's just this first step in the Restore project, the $10 million sewer upgrades that we'll be doing.
Okay. Speaking of the sewer work and such, you're working on North Church Street here.
We are.
How long until you get here at 9 North Church Street, where our studio office?
I think we're still a little ways from here. We're inching our way towards the Magnolia intersection now. You know, and that project is moving slowly, mm-hmm. Simply because every time you open up a you open up a street with infrastructure as old as Fairhope's is, you find things that you didn't realize were there.
Okay.
So, you know, we're taking care of all that as we go along, whether it be gas lines, drainage, sewer, whatever it is. So while we have the street open, we're taking care of those problems. So it is a drainage project, but again, we are addressing all the utilities as we move along also.
Okay. Yeah, I have to admit, I was a little surprised at how slow it was going. I figured they would be working there for a month or two and then come up here for a month or two, but no. They've been there for what, 4 months now?
Yeah, and it's going to be a slow moving project. We're thinking an 18-month project,
okay.
12 to 18 months, and that's simply because while we have the road open, we're trying to address everything that
address
we need to.
Everything.
We are.
At one
we're
time
addressing so everything at one time, so we don't have to open that street back up.
Okay, I can see the logic in that, mm-hmm. and everything, but at the same time, I work here, you know.
I know.
Where am I gonna park?
I know. You're just watching an inch long. The parking deck.
Well, but
you'll be able to get across.
Yeah, but there's only one entrance on the east side there. So how are we going to get in and out of the parking garage?
They have been doing a really good job of making sure that they leave, you know, if they need to leave Church Street open, like leave a lane open.
So they'll leave
and
a
they'll
lane
continue
open
to do that. They'll All continue
right.
to do that.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes, we want to, you know, we don't want to interrupt people too much in their daily activity. So, and they've been very good communicators. I think if you talk to the homeowners over there, you'll find that they've been great communicators. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a Sawgrass, who's the engineer on the project, actually has one person dedicated to those customer relations. So she's in contact with those folks every day and making sure, you know, lights are taken care of if they're cut and they have entryway into their driveway. So you'll have that one contact that you'll be able to address all those issues with.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's just one more concern that we have. And in addition to, you know, the finest radio station here in Fairhope.
Well, absolutely.
On this street,
we would never want to disrupt that.
Yeah, but there's also three hairdressers on this street. And if women can't get their hair did, you know, you're going to hear about it. So.
Absolutely.
And the bridal shop.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
No, we do not want to be disruptive to businesses or to the residents that live along this project. And obviously we know there are going to be hiccups along the way, but again, I think, you know, trying to be good communicators is the key to all of this.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to do.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Little outside of your zone of control here, but, folks are going crazy buying gasoline. Do you know, have you had any updates on how we stand?
I have. So, matter of fact, I got a text just a few minutes ago that I need to check on. But yesterday afternoon, I got a report because, you know, we had a lot of people from a city saying, oh, we're not be able to get gas. Y'all better call and get gas. And so we called our supplier. We were already tapped off for the day, but with gas. But they basically said we do not get our gas from that pipeline.
Okay.
Ours is barged in through Mississippi.
Okay.
And so we should not have an issue. And I think, you know, one of the TV stations reported the same thing last night. But, you know, it's like one of those things when people hear a hurricane's coming, they feel like they have to stock up for 2 weeks. I mean, they've said that, you know, gas supply might be disrupted for a couple days, but it's not going to be for weeks. And
mm-hmm.
these people who are, you know, filling up their cars, their gas tanks,
well, yeah.
they're creating the panic.
Yeah, I can understand, you know, folks go ahead and filling up their cars.
Yeah.
You know,
top it off.
Yeah, always top
sure.
it off. And I filled mine up yesterday before the panic because it got down to like half a tank. And that's just something I do living on the Gulf Coast
right.
anyway. This
right.
is before everybody went bananas
right.
about it. I'm like, half tank, filled up, you know,
right.
no big deal. And then you see people that bring a truck full of big red tanks and they're filling
mm-hmm.
those up. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, come on.
The lines were for gas stations last night was crazy. I kept mm-hmm. getting pictures of people, like, you know, sending me pictures of gas stations. And they were like, what do you know? And I mean, I'm like, I know exactly what everybody else is reporting. We do not get our gas supply from that pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, I think it could impact, you know, possibly down the road.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some impacts. But from what we heard from our gas supplier, it should not impact our area that much.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Unless it's like people from, areas that are impacted that come here for gasoline.
Right. And I did look at that pipeline, and it does run through the north part of the state. So, you know, the people in the north part of the state, there may be some concern, Nashville, Atlanta, those places.
Okay.
But again, even with that pipeline,
kind of thing.
In that pipeline, they said the disruption would only be a couple of days, that it's not going to be anything that should be too impactful. And as far as gas prices rising, I mean, gas prices have been rising considerably over the past 6 months. I mean, we're looking at 75 cents more than it was, what, 3 to 4 months ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're continuing to see that. But from what we heard yesterday, a barrel only increased by like 10 cents. So, I mean, okay. We weren't getting, you know, much feedback on, you know, low supply or on increased pricing.
Okay. All right. Good to hear an official word on that. Anything else you'd like to?
I don't think so.
To bring up, I understand that the governor has limited the unemployment, so hopefully right. That will get folks back to work soon.
We hope so. You know, as a city, and I know just talking with the other mayors around Baldwin County, I mean, we continue to struggle to fill those entry-level positions, even with the benefits that the city offers. Mm-hmm. But when you have those entry-level positions and you're competing with places, you know, bigger box stores or even with fast food restaurants that are offering $17 to $18, and plus, I mean, some of them are offering like a $500 signing bonus. Yeah, it's crazy.
Where I know,
right?
This?
Yeah. It's crazy how competitive.
I'm thinking about a new job.
How competitive it's gotten for entry level employees.
Okay.
So, but you know, again, when you go work for a municipality, there's the stability of employment. There's benefits. There are some things that you should look at. It's hard to explain that to your 20-something year olds. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, it's been a challenge to fill those entry level positions for us as well.
Yeah, my son is on the fire department. Mm-hmm. Here. And he, you know, I had talked to him about getting a city job and everything, and
right.
he was like, you know, I kind of make more mm-hmm. money at mm-hmm. you know, working with the ambulance crew. I often take a little bit of cut in pay, but he's also now he's getting some dental work mm-hmm. done, and
that's
he's building
right.
his retirement, mm-hmm. and he's like, hey, you know, this isn't so bad.
It's not so bad, and you know, for paramedics in particular, right now, I mean, there's such a demand for paramedics.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
People who are able to do that on the weekends or after hours, you know, a couple weekends a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the kind of the perfect scenario.
He's doing that.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great, because I know they need great people working those jobs, and we've been in touch with Chad Jones talking to him about you know, paramedics here in the area, so I know he's thankful to have those guys who will work on the weekends and after hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a conversation for after we get off the air.
<That's>, okay.
I'm here with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, and it is wonderful to have you in. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on?
I don't think so, but I mean, if anybody has any questions, always, you know, City Hall, please give me a call, stop by, or shoot me an email, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Okay, make sure I don't have any messages.
Okay.
Nope, nothing's come in.
Okay, great.
Okay, well,
thank you,
Ms. Sherry.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here, and you are always welcome.
Thank you so much.
All right. 1480 WABF, glad to have Ms. Sherry Sullivan in here with us, Mayor of Fairhope, and hope you are having a great day as well.